This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton. Thank you for being with us for today's Radio Main Street all across North Dakota. And of course, it's an important week for Prairie Public, because not only does Main Street come on the air every day, weekday from 3 to 4, Sunday mornings at 10 Central, but we also occasionally remind you, with the help of Ashley Thornburg and others, that Prairie Public is member-supported.
That is absolutely right. It is the people who go from being a passive listener to an active member. And I say active because there's this verb that has to happen first, and that's when you call or go online and become a member. So the phone number is 1-800-359-4145. You can also go to prairiepublic.org and make your donation there, or grab your smartphone and just text the word support to the number 484848. Don't take it for granted that someone else is going to pay the bills. It's true, you're listening because someone else did. Well, now you can pay it forward. How about that? 1-800-359-4145 or prairiepublic.org.
Yeah, if you're not a member, just put your fingers in your ears, because that's how Prairie Public would sound if there weren't any members.
Oh, man.
We have had membership support for decades now, and that has sustained the business model we have, which is do the best we can to encourage people to listen. People listen. We know a lot more people listen than join as members. And that's why we have to remind you occasionally that it does take a village to keep this on the air. Prairie Public is public, and that means you. If you're listening and you're not a member, it's time to have that internal discussion with yourself. Why? You know, like Jack Russell Weinstein
does.
Let's get our philosopher here. And he has why philosophical discussions about everyday life. We talk with Jack once a month about his show, stimulating topics, stuff you'll only really hear on Prairie Public, because that's how unique the programming is that we offer you. And we offer it to you because we have member support. Give us a call at 800-359-4145, or you can go online to prairiepublic.org and click on donate, or there's that text one too.
Absolutely. You can text the word support to 484848. We'll send you a little link, and then you can fill it out from there, all from the comfort of wherever you and your smartphone happen to be sitting. Hopefully you're not – no, don't drive and do this at the same time. I'm not even going to say hopefully you're not. I'm telling you, don't do that. If you're driving and you need to make a donation now, pull over.
But that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
You can drive and listen.
Yes.
And that's the kind of thing radio can do that other media can't.
Yeah, exactly. We come to you. You can have us on in earbuds and walk around the house and clean up or pet your cat, or you can be making breakfast. Of course, you can be listening to the radio. You can have it in the car. You can have it. I have been known to put my cell phone in a waterproof bag and wrap it in a cold towel and bring it into the sauna with me.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, well, I spent a lot of time in the sauna, and so it's great to have this wonderful conversation come right with me. So many options available for you, because we're trying to make it as convenient as possible for you. 1-800-359-4145 is the number to call to support your own convenience. You can also make this donation online at prairiepublic.org, or you can text the word support to 484848. And whatever membership level works for you works for us. A lot of people come in at that $10 a month level. And no matter what level you support us at, we sure appreciate it. 1-800-359-4145 or prairiepublic.org.
Joining me now, Dori Leslie. She's the Vice President of CHI Friendship. Good to have you with us, Dori.
Thank you for having us.
And Steve Schultz is a direct service professional. Steve, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And the reason they're with us today is because this is National Direct Support Professionals Week, the 8th through the 14th, and we're going to find out about what CHI Friendship is and what a direct support professional does. First of all, let's start with the organization, Dori. Tell us about CHI Friendship.
CHI Friendship is a large nonprofit in North Dakota that supports people with disabilities. We're one of about 32 providers in the state of North Dakota that serves people with disabilities. We provide the residential, the vocational, and all aspects of life service plan for each person. We support across Fargo and Grafton and the Park River area.
Okay, so how many people are we talking about? These are people with developmental disabilities?
Yep, we support people with developmental disabilities, and we serve about 250 people supported across our system, but there is several hundred people in the state of North Dakota that get served by developmental disabilities providers.
So how long are some of these people with you? Is this a lifelong commitment in some cases?
Right. People supported can come live with us their entire life. We have people that have been in our service for over 30 years, and we become their family in addition to their regular family or in place of their regular family. We become their family because being here so long, we get to know who they are and their wants and dreams and wishes and really become friends and really caring like family for each and every one of them.
Well, I searched you online and went to CHI Friendship and discovered that CHI stands for Catholic Health Initiatives.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Catholic Health Initiatives is a hospital system based out of Denver, and we are part of the bigger system for Catholic Health Initiatives, but we are based here right in Fargo and Grafton Park Harbor.
Well, it's time to talk to the person the week is for. That's Stephen Schultz. He's a direct service professional. Steve, how long have you been in this position?
This December, it'll be 9 years that I've been a DSP.
And what does a DSP do?
Well, in a nutshell, we help people live their daily lives, provide supports when they need it, help dreams and goals come true. We're just there for support.
So this is a lot of one-on-one.
It can be, yeah. There's a one-on-one, but then there are times when you help support two people at a time, three people at a time. So,
now, you have a residential operation and a vocational operation. Where are you working?
I've actually done both. In my 9 years, I started out in the vocational department and helping support someone through their day-to-day with their jobs, their volunteer opportunities, stuff like that. And then I transitioned to the residential side of things where people come home from their work and you help them cook their meals, help them with their medications if they need it, you know, go out and do fun things like go to the Fargo Dome on the weekend or, you know, to an event or go to a picnics or what have you.
Are these like group homes then?
I do work in a group home. There are other settings that different branches of Friendship that they're not funded by the state.
So in a group home, there has to be a DSP there all the time, right? Or more than one, perhaps.
Yep, 24-hour support in a group home facility.
So this is a very intensive occupation. How did you get interested in it?
It was actually my mother-in-law who turned me toward it. Growing up, my brother was never diagnosed with anything, but he was slower. And so she saw how great I did with him when she met the two of us. And she directed me toward the human services field. So
you had an aptitude for it.
I did. Yeah, okay. I do.
What kind of training do you offer these people who do this kind of very important close contact work with people with developmental disabilities?
Right. We have a extensive training program for direct support professionals. North Dakota has a module curriculum system that you have to complete to be fully certified, as well as internal certifications, making sure that we follow each person's life plan and making sure that we follow safety regulations and all kinds of oversight by not only the Department of Human Services, but also the federal government. There's a lot of oversight within our service, but DSPs do get extensive training, each and every one that comes into our system.
And this is a labor-intensive operation. When I went online, I discovered you had, as you mentioned, 250 clients, people you serve, 300 people on staff.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Friendship is a large organization, but when I look at the greater good of North Dakota, we have about 5,300 direct support professionals. That's a large labor pool,
yeah.
And we are so blessed to have great direct support professionals. But we're always recruiting for more because it is an intense job with turnover and the hard work. We're always looking for new employees that want to try this as a profession or as a calling.
Well, you mentioned turnover. Is that that's a serious serious ongoing issue? Or?
Yes, the industry standard is quite high. When I look last, I think North Dakota was about 50% turnover. Friendship is about 40% right now, which is pretty high for somebody that you're providing day in and day out services for them on everything from their life aspects. You know, turnover is a concern in our industry. And so really looking for all kinds of direct support professionals that really want to do this as a calling and really be in the human service field because it's a really rewarding job.
Well, Steve, you've got 9 years into this. So give us the, the frontline approach to it. This has to be an intensive relationship. You get to know these people pretty well.
I do. Over the 9 years, I've made several friendships, help people go on vacations. Just getting to know each other and joking around with one another is one of my favorite aspects of the job. We've seen people come and go, and I've seen staff come and go, and when some people supported develop such a great relationship with staff that when they leave, it's devastating for them. And so being in it for 9 years, I feel fortunate to be in there for the long haul.
And, of course, you probably have been working for some people maybe over 9 years or several years at any rate in some cases if you're at a residential environment.
Yep. There's actually the group home I work at, there are five residents and – there's one of them who's been there the entire 9 years that I've worked for Friendship. I've known her the entire 9 years I've
worked. So talk to us about the importance for both of you, that person and you, to have this kind of connection.
Well, with the longevity in the job that I've experienced, you get to know people. And even if they don't speak verbally, you know, there's a lot of people supported who are nonverbal. You get to know just the small body movements and what they need and if they need to be repositioned or, you know, if something's upsetting them, you get to know what it is. You know, if something's just out of place by 5 feet, that's driving them crazy.
You must get an appreciation for the yearning everybody has for some sort of human contact, too.
Yes, definitely.
This is National Direct Support Professionals Week, Dory. So how is it being observed around here?
Well, it starts with the governor. Governor Burgum of North Dakota signed the proclamation this week to say it is National Direct Support Professionals Week, celebrated it in North Dakota. We know that our direct support professionals are the frontline employees, but they're so much more. Sometimes they can be a counselor, a teacher, a guidance for somebody that gives input for any day situations and supported decision making. But this is the week, which we should every day celebrate DSPs, but this is the week that we really look to celebrate the direct support professional position. They are the heart and soul of what we do. They are the most valued position across our industry because they get to know the people so intensely in every level of their life. So this week we get to celebrate Steve and all his coworkers from all kinds of fun activities, from having a car wash to potlucks to celebrations of all kinds. It's just a great week for Steve and all his coworkers to know truly how much we appreciate each and every one of them.
How is this important work, CHI Friendship, funded?
Yep, CHI funded is from the state of North Dakota, and we are funded by Medicaid, and really our services really come from each and every person's hours that they actually need for themselves. But we are so blessed to have such great DSPs, and we continue to recruit as best as we possibly can.
Steve, I've seen, I'm sure, DSPs at West Acres, at shopping centers, at movie theaters, at plays I've been to.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't just at home. You're out and about as well.
Correct. Yeah, we help people get out in the community as much as we can. That's the funnest part of the job is helping people out in the community, doing their volunteering, going to events, going to WrestleMania at the Fargo Dome, you know, whatever the case may be. So,
is this a career for you?
It definitely is.
Wow. That's intriguing and heartening to hear that. Your website also mentions, Dory, that you have an ongoing need for volunteers.
We do. We are always recruiting for volunteers to help come in and take people to church or do activities or do even holiday events. We're looking for people that really want to also come in to know that people with disabilities are just like everybody else. They want the American dream, and they have life goals just like you and I have. And when I think about, you know, Steve talks about going to WrestleMania and all that, you know, when I think of all the years Steve has been with us, one of the things that makes me excited for direct support professionals is see the personal growth in all of them. Steve has become a leader on all that he does each and every day for the work that he does. And we have so many direct support professionals that have been here for so many years, and they develop themselves some really good leadership skills. And that's exciting for us, really, to watch our direct support professionals turn into people who really, truly give value to the people we support.
Well, this is National Direct Support Professionals Week. Dori Leslie is Vice President of CHI Friendship. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Steve Schultz is a direct service professional. Thank you, Steve, for being with
You're
us.
You're more than welcome.
And thank you for your service.
Thank you.
My name is Alejandra Castillo, and I am the CEO of the YWCA USA. I love NPR. First of all, it's the depth of the information, the complexity. The reporters do an amazing job, always turning the information, making sure that we're looking at it from so many different perspectives. So it nourishes me intellectually, but also there are some very beautiful human stories that really tug at the heart.
You can support the programs you love on Prairie Public by becoming a sustaining member. It's easy. Just go to prairiepublic.org, call 800-359-4145, or text the word support to 484848 and click on the link.
We started our show today talking about direct support professionals. You just heard a testimonial from the National YWCA about the importance of service. Well, service is our mission at Prairie Public, too. And Tom Ezern's service to our listeners is similar to the service he provides his students as a professor of history. Every week, Tom writes and reads a Plainsfolk essay, a snippet of history about our place on the planet from an expert who knows how to share a story. Today, his essay is titled Wolf Hunters.
Coyotes, known in the 19th and early 20th centuries as prairie wolves, were considered merely a nuisance in the days of the overland trails. As agricultural settlement dug into the prairies, however, farm folk redefined prairie wolves as a menace. Organized community wolf hunts were social affairs with a hostile purpose, eradication of a perceived pest. At the same time, people retained a curiosity and odd affection for the prairie wolves, often attempting to keep them as pets. There arose, however, a curious subculture focused on the coyote, one motivated financially by county bounties, but drawn emotionally by the thrill of the chase. An intriguing item in the Emmons County Record, 21st February 1907, expresses sorrow about the physical state of Uncle Ben Corbin, the old wolf hunter, who was partially paralyzed. It sounds like he had a stroke. "We hope he will soon be able to make his appearance among us again," writes the editor, "and give us some more of his facts on wolf hunting." There were wolf hunters like Uncle Ben Corbin, keepers of wolfhounds, hunters of prairie wolves, across the territory, and some of them were legendary. Most of the wolf hunters enjoyed only local fame, their exploits recorded with bemusement by their country editors. The Oaks Weekly Republican of 17th February 1893 recounted an outing by a few of our keenest sportsmen, along with, he said, the noble 400 canines of Oaks, whose heroic efforts dispatched exactly one coyote. The Jamestown Weekly Alert recounts a more successful hunt in 1896, that began on the Trimble Farm, southwest of town, with the laying of a dead horse for bait. The hunters, the Dupuy brothers from Bismarck, were hired killers who brought in a wagon loaded with four seasoned wolfhounds. It seems this hunt targeted actual gray wolves, not just prairie wolves, and the hunters killed three of them. One of the boys observed, "We all voted this the best wolf hunt we ever had, and I doubt if the record can be beaten." The boast had credibility, for by this time, gray wolves were rare, and most wolf hunters settled for prairie wolves. Their chases often ended not with a grand battle, but with shovel work, digging out prairie wolves' run to den. But the bounty money was good, set for some time at $3, until that got too expensive. one packmaster emerged as the Paul Bunyan of prairie wolf hunters, Adam Lesmeister of Pierce County. Already in October 1913, press reports said in that year he had killed 325, collecting a bounty on each and then selling the hides. The census of 1910 lists Mr. Lesmeister as a 34-year-old Russian-German farmer born in Russia, living on a mortgaged farm with kids, his in-laws, and two hired men. The bounty money, no doubt, helped carry the mortgage. An extended feature article in the Bismarck Tribune of April 16, 1923, updates us as to the exploits of the great hunter, declaring Mr. Lesmeister the holder of the world record for killing 8,501 prairie wolves since 1898, that figure including 18 grays, the rest coyotes. He held bounty receipts documenting income of $21,237.50 in North Dakota, plus additional revenue from South Dakota. The story prevailed that Mr. Lesmeister killed the young wolves and sentimentally let the old ones go. He denied the report, but the legend lived.
That's Tom Ezern, and of course our Plainsfolk essays are another unique opportunity we have offer our listeners because you hear them on Main Street, and you hear them from a distinguished professor of history at North Dakota State University, Tom Ezern, a well-known author who writes about where we are broadcasting
yeah.
to.
Yeah, what a concept. Yeah. Tune in, and you want to get something that is sort of similar to your own life. Yeah, sure, there's escapist television, and you can watch it and realize that your life is nothing like Grey's Anatomy, and that's fine. But when you're watching the news, when you're listening to stuff that impacts you, you want it to actually be from this region. It's like looking in the mirror and seeing yourself. And the news coverage in particular, we want to cover this region. We know it is an important part of a healthy society, a healthy voting constituency here, a key role in a healthy democracy to have that information reliable and true. The number to call to support this service is 1-800-359-4145 or click and join at prairiepublic.org. Doug, you mentioned doing this in support of Tom. How about Sue Belcom? Just yeah. her laugh alone, I think somebody should pledge for that, honestly.
Well, Sue Belcom is, of course, the featured guest we have every Thursday on Main Street for Main Street Eats. She has a small truck farm, and she goes to farmers markets, and she and her husband, that's how they make their living. Of course, Sue is also a writer. She wrote a book that she designed, and that's Women Behind the Plow. We did a Prairie Public documentary about it. So this is all kind of related to this enterprise we call Prairie Public, and that enterprise requires members. So if you've thought about becoming a member, why don't you think
Stop
about
thinking. Yeah, start doing.
Project yourself into the future a year from now thinking, I am a member. And it's easy to do because it's a phone call away or a click online away or a text away. It's 800-359-4145 or online at prairiepublic.org or text us 484848 and then follow the link we send. We're sort of automatic the way we share this information. But the important thing is we need your support.
And that support, why do we need it? Well, it's because it pays for everything that you hear and a whole lot of stuff you don't hear, like even just the table. Can you hear that table here? Holding up the equipment. It pays salaries. It pays for the shows that we buy, $800 a week just to bring you Morning Edition.
Which is a great show.
It is a fabulous show, and it is possible because of membership support. We use that to pay pay the dues for everything that you hear. And you are helping us to do that when you call 1-800-359-4145 or when you click and join at prairiepublic.org. And we've got a lot of great stuff even in the second half of today's show.
Yes, coming up, we're going to hear about our education division from Darcy Backegaard, who is a very engaging and interesting person to talk to, especially about teaching. But first, the news.
For Prairie Public, I'm Danielle Webster. The Grand Forks Council is expected next week to formally adopt a pair of ordinances designed to decriminalize the city's noisy party laws. The goal is to reduce a first violation from a criminal offense to an infraction. City Attorney Howard Swanson says the penalty provision would depend on the number of violations.
And you will see that the first offense has a fine specified at $300 per incident or offense. If it's a multiple offense within a 12-month period of time, then that increases up to a higher level.
A second ordinance would cover partygoers who fail to disperse. Council members Danny Weigel says the new laws would allow UND police to take enforcement actions without having to call in city police. Weigel says under current code, campus police can only send infractions to municipal court. Misdemeanors have to go to district court, and there are no state statutes for noisy parties. In 2005, police responded to 966 loud party complaints. Last year, the number dropped to 38. Xcel Energy has a goal of eliminating carbon emissions by 2050. It has an intermediate goal of 80% carbon reduction by the year 2030. To do that, Xcel is phasing out its coal plants. It's adding wind and solar power as well as natural gas peaking plants. But the utility wants to keep operating its two Minnesota nuclear plants, Monticello and Prairie Island. Xcel Dakota's and Minnesota President Chris Clark briefed the North Dakota Public Service Commission about its plans.
For us, keeping the nuclear fleet as part of it through their current life is important, and we have had some push on wanting to close the nuclear fleet early. And so for us, this is very much a coal before nuclear intentional strategy on our part.
Clark says while he's confident Xcel will reach its 80% reduction goal, the full elimination is a little murkier. He says the technology doesn't exist yet to reach that goal, but it is being developed. And Olivia Mortensen, who was a junior at Ulan-Hittedal Public School, was picked as one of this fall's homecoming queen candidates before school was let out last spring. But Olivia died in a car crash in Clay County in June. The 17-year-old standout athlete and honor student's death shocked the communities of Ulan-Hittedal and Twin Valley. But her classmates made a decision over the summer. School counselor Kim Skeld says the senior class agreed the best way to proceed was to make Olivia honorary homecoming queen. The students sought the permission of her family, who agreed and who came on stage to accept the queen's crown at last night's coronation.
When we practiced the coronation in the auditorium, it got really emotional. But I think one of our main goals as a student body and for sure as staff here at the school is that we didn't want to make homecoming another memorial for Olivia, but we wanted to celebrate Olivia and who Olivia was and who she was to the students.
Skeld calls the coronation, quote, a beautiful moment of acceptance of what happened to Olivia. For Prairie Public, I'm Danielle Webster.
You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg and Darcy Backegaard. Darcy is our Prairie Public teacher ambassador and professional development coach. And while, of course, we're in a fall membership drive, we're also sharing information as we do all the time on Main Street.
Yep, we're still doing our jobs.
That's
what a
good
concept.
Yeah.
Well, and Darcy, you are, I swear, every time we look at what the education department is doing, speaking of having lots of jobs, you guys are always up to something.
It's good to keep busy, and it's good, really fun for me to get to find new and different ways to engage educators and hopefully provide a little bit more of a spark and engagement for teachers as they get through the school year in their classrooms.
Well, if you go to prairiepublic.org and you click on that education tab and then you select K-12 professional development resources, you get right into you.
Yeah. You get right into all of the goods. And actually, our team at Prairie Public has even put a direct link right on the homepage. So when you go to prairiepublic.org, one of the first things you'll see is the weekly web chats. And that, you can just click on that and get all of the information about the chats and how to earn professional development credit.
You know, this time of year when you open up social media, they have all of these funny memes about, like, going back to school and, like,
yes.
what you look like as a teacher. And you're all excited and adorable.
And very well pressed.
And your clothes are clean.
Yeah, everything looks good.
And then, of course, by the end, it's like you've been running around sticking forks into outlets.
Yeah.
Does the same thing happen to someone who puts together the education web series? Are you all fresh and new in the school year?
A little bit. But for me, I get to have a little bit more downtime than the classroom teachers
sure.
do, so it's a little bit easier. I would say my frazzle doesn't come quite as quickly, but I very much remember those days of that first few days of school are really, really long for teachers and kids of getting that energy. So that's part of what these professional development series aim to do, is to help educators keep that energy up in their classrooms, keep finding fun and engaging ways to interact with their students.
So tell us about the web chats. You've got the math and English discussions ongoing.
Yes. We've partnered with the North Dakota Council for Teachers of Math and the North Dakota Council for Teachers of English to provide monthly conversations for math teachers and for English teachers. And we had our first English chat last night. Those are going to happen twice a month, Monday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. They're free for any English teacher to join. It's literally having a virtual cup of coffee with other like-minded educators. Mm-hmm. And it was so fun because we had several teachers who are the only English teacher in their school or in their building. But then we all got to share ideas and resources. And it's the same general concept for the math chats. And those happen the third Wednesday of every month. Again, everything is free. You can just join the chats. You can learn all about this, as Doug said, at prairiepublic.org and click on the web chat link and you can access the schedules for those chats. But I'm really excited that teachers across North Dakota and across the Prairie region can connect with each other when you might not have some of those fellow math, or we know there are a lot of teachers in North Dakota who are the only in their discipline.
Yeah. I mean, I had one high school English teacher. Just had her
You just have them every year. And this is a way for those teachers to still get a little bit of the benefit of having some colleagues. Those colleagues are just spread out across the state.
And this is, of course, a discipline that has lots of aspects. There's grammar. There's literature.
Yes. And so the chats are ranging greatly in topic. So when you go to prairiepublic.org and click on that web chat link, you can access the English chat link. And that will give you the full calendar of all the dates and times and topics that are coming up. But they're talking about everything from grammar and vocabulary. Last night we talked about atypical books, books that don't sound like things that teachers would read but are actually very inspiring. So things like Joy Inc., like a lot of business books that have practical application in the classroom. Grit by Amanda Duckworth. We talked a lot about Brené Brown and her books. And just all of these different sources of inspiration that might seem atypical for a classroom teacher.
Well, if a teacher in a smaller community, one of those single English teachers or math teachers, for example, has a particular question that they really want to pose and get some feedback from this group, how do you do it?
You would email me, dbockigard@prairiepublic.org, and I am happy to pass all of those questions on or answer those that I can. You're welcome to jump on a chat for free and ask that question live to a group of English educators. We don't have topics for every single chat scheduled yet. So if you do have a question, that might be a great way. We could even build a whole conversation around something that you're interested in talking about.
What a great resource.
Yeah.
And it's free.
It's all free. And you can earn continuing education credit hours by joining any of those live chats, the English or the math chats, or checking out our archive of any of our recorded chats that I've done over the last year.
So that has the benefit of supplementing your educational responsibilities. You might have them contractually required and supplementing your income because you get to that one.
Right. You get to that next level on the pay scale. And everything is designed hopefully to be very easy for educators. Part of one of my goals as a educator here in North Dakota was to not have to travel to get good professional development, because that can be a nightmare in the winter.
In February.
Yes, but also I hated making sub plans. You know, if you as an educator have to be gone in order to take a day to go learn something new, those kids are still coming to school.
Yeah.
So someone has to be there to teach your class. And no one, I think until you're a teacher, you don't realize how much, it's twice as much work for a teacher to be gone than it is for the teacher to just go to school. That's why so many of them go sick. That's why we do those things. So I wanted professional development that was convenient, that worked for teachers, that they could access at home from their classroom when they needed a little extra spark.
Do you need to be a classroom teacher to benefit from these? Would it make sense for an administrator to go, or a homeschool teacher?
Yeah, I was going to say anyone. I hear from a lot of people. I just had a parent who signed up this last week, someone who was an educator, so they are working on renewing their license, keeping that fresh, but right now is a stay-at-home parent with a one-year-old and a three-year-old. And I think that this is a great set of resources for anyone. You can join the class for free. The credit is about $50 through a variety of area universities.
So again, how do they access it and what days?
PrairiePublic.org. The web chats, the English chats, are going to be Monday nights at 8 p.m. every other Monday night, usually the second and the fourth. But that schedule is online. And then the math chats are the third Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. All of the other chats are also available on YouTube. So anyone can just go to YouTube and search Prairie Public Weekly Web Chats and access any of that.
Are you connecting in with teachers from other places, not just across the state?
We are connecting in. I've talked to some teachers from Montana, from Minnesota, a couple from New Mexico. As I hear great things that are happening in education, if that person is willing to have a conversation with me, I am excited to schedule that. So same thing, if you're out there listening and you have someone that you think, I really need to talk to this teacher about something amazing that they're doing in their classroom, I would love to hear about that teacher and that story.
Well, you have another educational discipline discussion coming up. That's the Great Plains Social Studies Council Conference.
Yes, here in September, the Great Plains Social Studies Council is an engaged group of social studies teachers, and they host an annual conference for educators. It's coming up here the end of September at NDSU. And same thing, this is targeted toward 6th through 12th grade social studies teachers. But I'm sure there's something that everyone could learn from this day-long training. Lots of great breakout sessions and interactive sessions to help people get energized and find new ideas around social studies.
And if you want to find out more, just Google the Great Plains Social Studies Council, and it's right there.
Yeah, it just comes up, and all of the information about the conference, the schedule, even the breakout session topics are right there online, so you can get a sense of what's going to be discussed.
What are some of the breakout sessions?
I haven't looked at the schedule too closely. I'm doing a session talking about media integration in the classroom and just how to use media, not just in a social studies classroom, but in any classroom. Mm-hmm. But there are sessions talking about specific content as well as general teaching practices. So you might find some sessions on using project-based learning in the social studies classroom, but there might also be some sessions that are focused on, you know, making the Cold War relevant today. Those are not specific sessions. Like I said, I haven't looked at what everyone else is offering, but it will be a wide range of social studies-based topics.
It's just a reminder of how creative the teaching profession has to be.
Yeah, a lot of those of just how do we keep this generation of digital natives engaged, and how do we keep this content relevant and meaningful in an era where you can look up facts on your phone in a matter of seconds.
And you can find a lot of misinformation in
no
time at all.
Exactly, a lot of misinformation. So now our role as teachers is becoming less and less about disseminating that information and helping students learn how to process that information, how to weed through that information, and how to curate that information in order to create new ideas.
critical thinking has never been more important.
Right. Yes. And it's such a great time. It's one of the reasons why I don't think I do feel frazzled. You were asking at the beginning of this is just such an exciting time to be an educator. And since I have the benefit of a little bit more time and I get to plan out some of these things, it's really fun to get to see all of these new and exciting ways to engage educators and to engage students.
Well, speaking of that, in October, you've got something called EdCamp.
And you call it an unconference.
It's an unconference. This is maybe, I'm biased, but this is my favorite day of the year. An unconference, unlike the Social Studies Conference, you can go online at the Great Plains Social Studies Conference and you can see the entire schedule. This unconference has no schedule.
Okay.
It's very scary as the organizer, but it's really fulfilling and exciting. When I went to my first ed camp as a teacher, I've never had a professional development experience where I walked away feeling so connected and inspired. The schedule for the day is created by the people who show up. So the topic board is generated by the topics that the teachers in the room are passionate about, what they want to talk about, what they want to learn more about, what they want to share. And so the whole agenda is created by the people who come to the conference. And then there are no pre-scheduled presenters. It's all about harnessing the collective knowledge and resource of a room full of teachers learning with and from each other. It's the ultimate unconference in getting to just engage in conversations like this, but with other teachers around topics that you care about.
Well, good teachers are very good students too.
Yeah, well, and we're really good at teaching each other and sharing those resources. And that's what's so exciting to me. We don't need to spend a ton of money on outside experts. The last ed camp we hosted in North Dakota a year and a half ago, there was over 300 years of teaching experience in the room. So what more experience could we ask for? So that's the power of an ed camp. The experience is in the room and we learn with and from each other. It's a short day, 9:30 to 3. It's another free event. Ed camp is free. The Ed Camp Foundation makes sure that ed camp stays free for teachers. And it's a fun day that you can come to Fargo. It's the weekend of the teachers' convention, so teachers are off. So we're hopeful that you'll load up the car with the kids, bring the family to Fargo for the weekend, get a little morning, early afternoon professional development on Thursday the 17th, and then enjoy the rest of your break.
And then you can follow up doing a web chat on how to take the unconference approach to professional development and have it in your classroom. Can you imagine how excited a kid would be if the teacher said, hey, what do you
want to learn about? What do you want to do? And there's a whole movement of teachers who are doing that and something called Genius Hour. And that's inspired by the Google model of 20% of Google employees work time.
I came up with this myself.
We're right there. Educators are trying to push things to keep kids engaged. But the Google model allows employees to spend 20% of their time on a passion project, something that they just are curious about exploring. And teachers are using that same model to engage students in finding their passion and creating something unique and new.
So this is the North Dakota Teachers Conference weekend or whatever.
Right.
Where is this going to be?
This will be here in Fargo at Carl Ben Eielson Middle School. And it starts at 9:30. Come a little bit early for a free breakfast. We'll spend the day learning and sharing together, and then we'll wrap up by 3 o'clock so that you still have most of the afternoon.
Is there any other expense involved?
Nope, just the travel to get here.
Wow.
Otherwise, the day is free. There are some seat hour professional development credit options available, and it should just be a fun day of professional learning.
Well, that's just a reminder of everything you get from Prairie Public. We have a television division. We have a radio division. We're talking to you right now using that in an education division, and they are synergistic. We all work together thanks to the people out there who support Prairie Public, and this is our radio fall drive.
And you are supporting all of those services that Doug just mentioned and so many more when you call 1-800 1-800-359-4145. You can also click and join at prairiepublic.org. Darcy, I love doing interviews like this with people who are passionate, engaged, intelligent about the subject, but also incredibly open-minded to other new ideas. And just the fact that you strive to keep this free to educators is right in line with the mission of public broadcasting, that you shouldn't have to be overwhelmingly wealthy to be rich in information.
Right. Great information comes to you for free. And I think that the education department really strives to uphold that part of the Prairie Public mission. And these are just some of the ways that we're doing it. So check out the prairiepublic.org for information on those. And that's another way that you can go online to pledge your support, just through prairiepublic.org.
Yes, a reminder that this information you're listening to right now is free, but it does cost money to get it to you.
As a matter of fact,
we've got transmitters and translators for the radio system all across the state of North Dakota. I read this list off yesterday. It's worth repeating. Beach, Bismarck, Bowman, Crosbury, Devil's Lake, Dickinson, Fargo, two in Grand Forks, Eddinger, Jamestown, Minot, Thief River Falls, Tioga, two in Williston, and Plentywood, Montana. Those are all antennas, sticks in the air, vibrating electrons, bringing you this radio show right now because members have been supporting this network for a long time, and members are absolutely essential. Give us a call at 800-359-4145 or go online to prairiepublic.org and click on donate.
Man, if only our equipment cost was the equivalent of putting a stick up in the air.
That would be so handy.
Yeah, we wouldn't probably need to be talking to you very much. But of course, it is expensive to put up all of those transmitters, to put out this content, to take the time to be able to find the right person who is intelligent, who is engaged, who has a sort of presence about them too, because a lot of people are experts and the information just doesn't, I don't know, it
doesn't
translate
always
with people. And so we really try hard to find a guest that will resonate with our listeners, because listeners come first here at Prairie Public, and especially on Main Street when you have the luxury of a 20-minute interview. Can you imagine?
No, the time that all of you, Doug mentioned earlier, the problem with all kinds of false information out there online and in the media. And I love Prairie Public and all of public media for that reason as an educator. I know that the time is being taken to dig deeply into issues. It's not a 30-second, 5-second sound bite. It's a 10, 15, 20-minute interview where you really get to dive into an issue and cover it. But that can't happen without the support of members. So do call that number. Go to prairiepublic.org and click to donate and keep supporting this free, local, in-depth journalism.
This is curated information, after all. I mean, we
right.
take some time to make sure that it's not ideologically motivated mm-hmm. or product motivated, because this is more like, what kind of discussion would you have if you said, here's the problem, what's a possible solution to it, as opposed to let's
Love
force
that.
It through this prism, you know. This is the importance of this kind of medium to have that kind of discussion. And you can help sustain it by giving us a call, 800-359-4145, or going online to prairiepublic.org and hitting that donate.
This is Dakota Datebook for September 10th. Today we share another story from the journals of the Reverend Richard C. John, who served as a Lutheran minister at several churches in McKenzie County a century ago. The 20-year-old, fresh from seminary in St. Louis, spent 10 months in the county. He lived in a cabin east of Watford City with a bachelor homesteader and immersed himself in rugged Western life. In September of 1916, John's term of service came to an end, and he spent his last days acquainting his replacement with the locals. On this date, he spent his last night in McKenzie County. The day had been stormy and windy, and the two preachers bundled into sheepskins and heavy blankets to make their services at a local schoolhouse. Nobody came, except for one family that also came to exchange horses and say goodbye. John recounted the moment in his diary, saying, "I took leave of them with a heavy heart, knowing that I would probably never see them again. That diary was discovered, annotated, and published a century later after John's call to McKenzie County. John spent his last night cooking dinner and packing up. He bathed and played casino with his roommate before going to bed at 11 o'clock. He was up just 4 hours later and left for the train from Watford after a visit to Schaefer. His train took more than 8 hours to reach Williston. He made it home to Missouri a few days later. It's clear from John's journals that he enjoyed his time out west. He befriended neighbors through his services and by helping with chores. He documented local happenings, such as one man's death from a wolf attack and the drowning of a rancher in Cherry Creek. John contributed obituaries to the local newspaper and baptized, confirmed, and buried residents. He enjoyed, quote, the free and wild life of McKenzie County, unquote. After he left, John continued to write to his friends in McKenzie County, and he pondered what we would learn from his journals, writing, "What will a stranger think if he or she should ever read this diary? I have given myself just as I am, with all my faults standing out in glaring relief, laying due emphasis on laziness. But there are redeeming features to me, too." Today's Decoded Epoch was written by Jack Dura. I'm Meryl Pepcorn.
Decoded Datebook is produced in cooperation with the State Historical Society of North Dakota, with funding from Humanities North Dakota.
The military court at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, is often criticized for costing too much.
The degrees and permutation of chaos in these proceedings is something that's just unimaginable. It's something you couldn't make up unless you were the writers for the show Veep or something like that.
An NPR investigation finds government spending there has totaled billions, with billions more expected. On the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Starting at 4 a.m. Central, right here on Prairie Public.
Well, you're listening to the final couple of minutes of Main Street that comes to you weekdays from 3 to 4 here on the Prairie Public Radio Network. And, of course, Ashley Thornburg and I have been reminding you that you have a role to play to help Main Street and all the rest of the programming you listen to on this service continue.
1-800-359-4145 or click and join at prairiepublic.org. You know, yesterday we had Ron Smith on, and how much of that information just comes off the top of his head, you know, is because he's been doing this for a long time. He is a bona fide expert in what he does, and we bring that level of expertise to you. 1-800-359-4145 or online at prairiepublic.org. In support of everything you hear, we hear from a lot of politicians, we hear from authors, from artists.
Scientists,
yeah.
Give us an idea. Give us a call when you're pledging your membership. Let us know what you'd like to hear.
That's an excellent point. We have this comments section available as well. When you go to prairiepublic.org or when you call 1-800-359-4145, you can also make a comment.
And on our show tomorrow, we'll talk with Thomas Wall, a professor in the Department of Agribusiness and Applied Economics at North Dakota State University. He focuses on trade policy, and he'll join us to talk about the current trade war with China. There are a lot of complications there. So we hope you can join us for Main Street on Wednesday. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your day.